Welcome to Athcast Music, the music of Athens, Georgia, now and then. I'm Marlene Sokol Stewart, and this is my podcast. I've been MIA in Athens lately due to my very big remodeling project at my house. It kind of sucked the life out of me. My husband and I are freaking exhausted. But we got a lot done the last few days, and the light is getting brighter. There will be a lot of good things that come out of this project, if we live through it, of course. I'll be talking about it every now and then on the show, as it will eventually be fun to talk about it rather than bitch about it all the time. So there you have it. But speaking of talking, my guest today that I'll be talking to is Superstar, formerly the band Eddie Blanco. These guys started playing when they were still in middle school, for goodness sakes, hitting iconic Athens spots like the Caledonia and 40 Watt before they were even old enough to drive. They've built their sound from a huge support of the Athens community of mentors, role models, and other young musicians all learning from each other, along with places like Nucci Space, where musicians could get together to jam, write, record, practice, and so much more. Aaron White and Bennett Evans are now turning the page with the name change of Superstar, creating and exploring new ways to express their musical personality. I spoke with Aaron and Bennett about these changes, as well as some of the other things that led up to the new band. This is me talking to Aaron and Bennett. Well, finally, I've got you guys here. Welcome to Athcast Music. I appreciate you coming on. I remember when I first started this podcast, I saw a bunch of names on a t-shirt, and I said, Eddie Blanco, you know, like, that's interesting. And Kayla goes, oh, he's great. But there was a bunch of names, but I picked your name out.
Okay.
Or the band's name,
yeah,
I should say. And I don't remember if it was a festival or, you know, some charity or whatever, but there was a bunch of names. But you know how it goes when you hear a name or you see something, you start to see it or hear it again. Mm. Well, that's what kind of happened. I started hearing it again and again and again. And I'm like, okay, you know, and I had you, you know, was listening at Nowhere Bar, and I was saying to my friend, I got to have these guys on my podcast. And your mom turned around and said,
yeah,
I'm his mom, the drummer's mom.
She overheard you saying that?
Yes, and she just turned around, and she gave me your phone number, how to get a hold of you.
Momagers.
Yeah, yep. That's right, mm-hmm. Momagers.
Yep.
That's a good one. I'm going to steal that.
Yeah, steal it.
That's okay, good.
Been good. Using that one for a while.
You know, but anyway, I like a lot of people on that list, I never got to them, and you guys were one of them, but now I'm not in FOMO, but I'm in SOMO, I said. Sadness of missing out, because I've missed out of listening to you guys for, I've been here 11, almost 12 years, and I just, there's so many bands I miss, and miss because I was doing my own business with health insurance, so I wasn't quite into the music scene I wanted to be when I first got here, but it just wasn't going to work out, and, you know, so I just kind of passed a lot of people, and a couple weeks ago, I was looking. I said, I got to go back to my list and see what's happening. And lo and behold, I see your name, and I said, damn, I really never did anything with them. And then you tell me you're starting a new project.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, that's a good time to do it. You know, yeah, we'll talk about the band Eddie Blanco, but we're also going to talk about other projects and how you got here and all that kind of stuff. So why not? But I know you guys have been playing since middle school and basically high school on to college, you know, the whole thing. But middle school, I'm just going to say, what the fuck? Because middle school, playing at the 40 Watt and Caledonia,
yeah,
and I'm like, that just doesn't happen much.
Yeah.
And that was probably in a time where there were a lot of bands playing in those places. And the fact that they gave you moments there is pretty cool. So, you know, how did you get confidence to go do that? I mean, you have to think about it. How old are you in middle school? 13, 14, 15, or 12, 13? Yeah,
13. We probably played together, we were like 11 or 12. We took music lessons at the same place. So
the Full Moon Studio?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We'd kind of been put together and just practiced from a really young age. So I think the confidence just kind of, it kind of just came from us playing and not really thinking much. Like, that's crazy to us that we're young and we're playing these shows.
I can't even tell you that would not happen today, that thought process with many of the kids. Yeah. Unless it's Oliver Domingo or somebody like that, because he's amazing also, and he's pretty young, just getting out of high school.
Yeah.
I was just like, but you've been friends for a long time. Did you live in the same neighborhoods or?
Not the same neighborhoods. Bennett's from Madison and I'm from Watkinsville, and we had our music lessons in Watkinsville. So we lived like 30 minutes from each other, I guess. But every week we were at the same place. So, yeah.
And it connected.
Yeah.
And you became friends. And I'm sure you'll become lifelong friends too. You'll stay that way because when you connect with people and keep up with them, no matter which way you're doing it, you do end up having lifelong friends, I'll tell you. I have one that's since I was 5.
Oh, that's awesome.
I mean, I still love her, and we still, and she got this great mountain house.
Comes with its perks, too. Nice.
Yeah. She's a good friend. I have this phrase that, you're Athens famous. Like, bands become Athens famous.
Totally.
I doubt I coined the phrase, but that's what I say. And you guys have been playing other places. You've even been up in New York and stuff like that. So, like, what was that like?
Oh, New York was really fun. We played the Bowery Electric.
No way.
Right? Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah. That was super fun.
And how old were you then? I just got to know. Because it's blowing my shit.
Better for those questions.
I think I was turning 21 that year. So we were 20. I was 20 and then Aaron had just turned 21.
How did you get there? How did you pay for it? How did they pay? I mean, did they give you enough money too or no? I mean.
No. We lost money.
Always.
But not a lot. Yeah. You know? Because we probably made back our, like, food and gas and being paid.
So how was your response? How was the audience?
That show was really good, honestly. I mean, a lot of touring we did to random places, there wasn't any response because no one would be there. But, you know, but at that place, it was good.
New York takes chances.
Yeah.
Well, that's something else. How many shows did you have to go through before you could actually have an audience evolve, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if Eddie Blanco ever had, like, an audience in New York, really. I mean, we had, like, a little group of friends there after that, you know?
Yeah.
Who would have came and seen us again, probably. But I don't know. I mean, our audience in Athens really evolved a lot. And that was, I guess, the support we needed to feel like we should get on the road.
Yeah. And do you still get on the road? I mean, a lot? Or,
every week. Play, like, probably 3 or 4 shows a week.
Really?
Most. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do a lot of colleges.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you get booked? Who's your booking?
We're like freelance, so we have like several different like people who book for us, and then they'll just all come at us with different shows. So we're working with different agencies and kind of it's been really great to not be tied down to like a single entity to where we can't just kind of do whatever we need to do.
Do what you do.
Exactly.
And we've made a lot of personal connections with people in fraternities over the years and sororities, and they kind of pass our contact down. So it's just something we've been working on for a while, and it's kind of what keeps us afloat now.
Mm-hmm. Taking a bite out of the elephant.
That's right.
Yeah. I know that right now. That's pretty cool. You know, Owen Lang was your bassist at the beginning.
Yep.
And I guess he left a few years ago, right?
Right.
So did he bring any difference to the mix of things with you guys, because you guys were kind of playing together and then you met him and then you started playing with him. You know, how did it change the dichotomy or trichotomy, however you want to say it, of your band?
I think a lot of it was like mostly the way we were writing and the way we approached writing. Like we've been kind of like writing music together since we were like 15. Before then, it was like, you know, our favorite songs, so like Tom Petty or any of the classics. And by that time, I think our interest had kind of gone into like a creative direction, see what we can do with each other. And when we were with Owen, a lot of it was just kind of like the bands in the room, we're going to try and make a song together because that's how we're going to play it live. There wasn't a lot of like huge production thought or like, you know, sitting down and like crafting the tune. It's just like, let's play it together. And then whatever comes in that room is going to be what we're going to do on the stage.
That's what it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So when Owen left, is that when you guys started thinking about maybe some changes? That was when it kind of did make some transitions and, you know, maybe explore and create and evolve some other pathways?
Right, yeah.
Did you stop playing for a while or did you just go straight through it?
Kind of picked right up where we needed to. Like there was a little bit of like, we don't really know what to do. We know we don't want to pick up someone immediately because, you know, that's just not, there was no one around that seemed like they would be the right fit. And still we play without a third for that reason, because it's just easier for us to roll as a duo.
Well, we do play as at least a trio.
Yeah.
But
yeah, well, I'll talk
we don't
about
operate
that video
as one.
Of you two in the car and with the shooting robot.
Oh, yeah.
In the fields. I'm like, what? I know the lyrics, but what? What are you doing there? Just being crazy.
Just being crazy.
And that's a good thing.
Should be our motto.
How did you make that? Because honestly, that takes editing time. And who shot that for you? And was it just you guys doing it?
Our buddy Yona Wienges, he's really talented. And just we've been working with him on different stuff for a while too. He's one of my day one friends. I mean, he and his mom and my mom were friends when they were pregnant with us. So it goes back far like that. Yeah. And
doing the same thing too.
Yeah. He was kind of.
You must have been talking back and forth.
Yeah, definitely. planning Superstar together at that point already. But we'd been wanting to work together again on something. And he was like, yeah, I really want to get this new camera. It's pretty expensive. And I was like, let us help pay for that. And in return, you can do some work for us. So it was great. We gave him like an advance kind of. He got the really nice camera and we just had some fun with it. And
it's Athens. That's Athens musicianship right there, and community, I should say, because we know how incredible this community is. It still amazes me for someone who is not, I mean, you used to come up to Athens from Duluth, Georgia, and see shows and stuff. And when my daughter was here, I just came up to, we saw a lot of shows at 40 Watt. And now I work with Troy Aubrey, so I'm seeing a lot of concerts because I help him. If you come to a Troy Aubrey Entertainment, you're going to see me checking you in. So
nice.
But I love that I'm helping him because I always tell him he's a good man, Charlie Brown. you know, I'm Lucy telling him that. Hmm. But, you know, he tries so hard to get a lot of things going for this community. Just a shout out to Troy.
Totally.
I almost do every time I get a chance.
Nice.
Because he's a hard worker. But this is going to be one of my weird questions, okay?
All right.
Just warning.
No, go for it.
Bracing myself.
Yeah, brace yourself. When I mean, usually it goes okay, though.
Okay.
You don't look at me like doing headlights. Like, what did she just ask?
Okay.
But one of your albums or EP, I can't remember which it was, Serotonin. Serotonin is the good feel hormone
right.
in our bodies. It helps with many bodily functions like digestion, happiness, learning and memory, sleep and relaxing. What made you choose Serotonin for the name? Because I wondered in some of your lyrics if you were searching for some of those things to feel good, to there was some loneliness in some of your songs. There was some damn it in some of your songs.
Well,
who wants to talk about that one?
Guess you would take that one.
Yeah, serotonin. I think that that's a really good question. I don't know if there's like a straightforward answer, but I do think a lot of those songs were like teenage, like loneliness and like, you know, that kind of like, I don't know, exploring like how to write an emotional song or how to like express your feelings. Is like, I mean, you're like 15 writing
which
lyrics.
Is hard as hell at 13 and 14 and 15. Mm-hmm. You really don't even really, unless you're really good, you know, till you're 17, 18, getting into the 20s to be able to do that. And what I was thinking when I was going to ask you that question is that, you know, you probably have, you probably used that name because you had different moods, and serotonin controls that. And I don't know why you picked it, but, and maybe you don't. Maybe I'm just blowing smoke, you know.
But I can't really remember.
Do you think you remember?
That was the first song. So we had two other bandmates at that point. We had Owen, and then we had Adara, who we both played with at the time, and we were a four-piece band. And the first time we ever got in a room together, I'd been working on that song in my bedroom at night. And I brought it to all of us. And the first time we ever got in a room together, we just kind of finished that song. And it went over like two or three different names before I think we landed at serotonin.
Well, serotonin isn't an everyday word.
Yeah.
I mean, when you take ecstasy, it is. Yeah. Because it takes some of your serotonin away.
Yeah.
Or tries to give it to you back, whoever you are. But, you know, I just found it really interesting at your ages that that was a title.
Yeah.
I really did. And I thought, well, that says a lot of what is happening in your minds, what is taking you into a much more mature adulthood.
We were definitely some thoughtful kids for sure.
Yeah.
Around, kinda. Yeah. I think the name might have come along with that last part of the song where it like kind of changes into like a really, I don't know how to describe it now.
Like the dreamy.
Yeah, I was going to say dreamy. It kind of went from this kind of melody. And a lot of times your melodies were so good and the song was so sad. Mm. And a lot of people do that because they want to make sure people are grabbed by the music and listen to the words, I think.
Yeah.
Are there a lot of musicians your ages right now in Athens?
I think so.
I do too.
Yeah,
because I don't know half of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is honest country.
We honestly don't, we're not super connected to the scene right now, I feel like. We've been kind of in hibernation, just like working on this project, you know, and we're in a lot of studios out of the state just because that's something that we've pursued. I mean, we have some really strong connections here, but one thing I've been really excited about lately is getting out and playing in town again and meeting people. And
I know, I can't wait.
Yeah.
To see you guys again. I mean, like I said, I haven't been out very much except for working for Troy. And, oh my gosh. So Darius Rucker used to work for our record stores and he's coming to town and I haven't seen Darius in probably 20 years.
Yeah.
And I'm really trying to get a hold of him, but it's really hard to get to him. So
sure.
I may or may not see him, but it was so cool because, you know, Mike and Kevin Kinney and Peter Buck. Well, it's really Kevin and Peter Buck are doing all those things at the Rialto Room.
Oh, man.
Which was really good. They've done 7 or 8 of those so far.
That's cool.
I think they're doing it in January. So if you think about it, you really should go see it.
Yeah.
It's very, very good. So just seeing that and, you know, knowing that we have so many posters, I'm finding out. Mm. We actually have David Barbie's Sugar posters that were sent to us. We have, I just found a Randall Bramlett. Oh. Yeah, that'd be 30 years ago.
That's cool.
It was no title.
Huh.
I have to show it to him.
Yeah.
He'll be on here one day.
That'll be cool.
But I found a postcard announcing REM's debut album that was sent to us.
Oh, wow.
I found the B-52's press release of their first album. Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. My husband's collecting for it. When this is all over, I'm going to invite a lot of my guests on this podcast.
Yeah.
To come join us in a listening party or something.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
And my husband can hold court. He's an interesting guy.
Okay.
So I think I've listened to a lot of your songs. Do one of you come up with the songs more often than the others? Because I just wondered if this is always a joint collaboration.
It's really been very joint. I think with this us writing this record that we're working on now, I guess finishing, was the first time we've kind of gone and developed ideas on our own at parts. So like Aaron has a song that he sings on the record, which has never happened before, which is really cool.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm typically just the drummer. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know. Are you drumming and singing at the same time?
When we play it live, yeah.
Yeah. So is that hard for you?
It was. It used to be really hard. And then I started doing it more. And then we started playing these really long cover shows sometimes. And yeah, so I started learning some of the vocals for some of the songs so that Bennett could take a break sort of. And I could practice. And now we've done, we've probably logged like 100 of those shows easily. So yeah, so I'm really comfortable with it now.
Well, we'll have to talk to Troy about bringing you to the Foundry.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That would be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the first time we played together, probably live. Was it the Foundry?
Foundry, yeah.
You haven't been there, or you have?
We have. Probably the first time we played together.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Either there or like Hinder Shots, maybe. Yeah.
You guys know Troy, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Troy's awesome.
Yeah, we know
Everybody
Troy.
Knows Troy.
Yeah, who doesn't?
I know. It's like, yeah. So it seems that you're looking into, I don't know how to say this really. You're looking into the recesses of your minds and thinking about where you want not only your music to go, evolve, transform, whatever the path is, but you want to take it to a different side of life, perhaps. Is that something that I'm even near by talking about that?
I think that resonates with me. Yeah. So
I just wonder, because at your age and stuff like that, why would they be doing that other than for those reasons? But there could have been a lot of other reasons.
Looking at a different side of life, like does a specific kind of vibe come to mind? Or
yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, that song's very different.
Mm. Yeah.
That All Mine.
Yeah.
But it still talks about love and all those things. It was cool because I could read all the lyrics while I was listening to on Spotify.
Yeah.
It was so cool. Or, I do that on Shazam when I'm trying to find a song with what they're playing.
Yeah.
And it gives the lyrics. I love that because it's always hard to, you can hear most of it, but I like to read the songs because then it goes.
Me too.
It resonates in my head. I was reading an interview, and Owen said this, that he thinks what's valuable about Athens is that as a young high school musician, you always have someone to look up to. Who are some of the people you guys looked up to and still do, or still looking, finding people to look up to?
I think, there's a lot. Like, especially growing up as like high schoolers in Athens, we're exposed to a lot of like the guys who were closer to our age now, but a little older. Like bands like Hefner and Wonderwild. That kind of blew our minds a little bit. We didn't know like music could be like that, because you're not really exposed to like Athens alternative music through like mainstream pathways. So we didn't know like bands can sound like this.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we really look up to guys like Owen's dad, who was, you know, drummed for REM. So he had really good advice for us, just like as not only like musicians, but also like as people going into music, you know, just how to like deal with things you wouldn't even think of.
Because they certainly have dealt with it, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. And it's funny because when you see them around town and everything, at least, I don't know, I've never really been like starstruck, but because I've met so many people through interviews and so many people through World Championship Wrestling that you just can't be that way.
Yeah.
I remember I would be walking out of this arena and there'd be a line down the road, like, and I'm like, what is that about? Oh, yeah, Ric Flair is famous. I'd forget, I swear. I'd have to go, oh, yeah.
Wow.
But, you know, because being that famous doesn't do anything for me.
Right.
But meeting somebody who gives me such joy in the words that they have to say.
Totally.
Are more of what I'm like. And that's why, and honestly, that first television job that really I became associate producer, it's really what made me a better, how I learned to interview. And I'm still best friends with the a producer of the show. Her husband and my husband worked at the record stores. I introduced them and then they got married.
Oh, cool.
So.
Yeah.
But Athens, it's easy to be able to talk to some people, but it isn't easy to break in if you are not a musician into the music world.
Mm.
I found that out when I first moved here.
Yeah, I could see
that. They're very welcoming to musicians that come here. And it's fine. It's great. And it should be that way. And it doesn't necessarily have to be that, oh, yeah, come on, because they're like, who is this that's asking me to be on this podcast? Yeah. She's got one podcast episode and she's, you know, that kind of thing. So I had to build it up and find people that kind of knew me already and, you know, could talk to me easily. And now, you know, I'm starting to get people to ask to be on. And that is sort of what I think you guys feel with this new project. And you're being able to, everybody's excited for you to make this new project, to do this new project because of how good you were and are as far as, you know, the 80 Blanco side of life was. And I'm sure that it's going to meld together, the two sides.
Yeah.
It has to, right?
The two sides of what?
80 Blanco and Superstar.
Oh, like those two universes kind of... Yeah, I guess we kind of bridged the gap when we first made the changeover. We made this video about like 80 Blanco being dead and us like kind of celebrating the life of it and then writing a new song together. It's like a skit, you know, that we posted on our socials. And then the next one is
I didn't see that. I'll have to look
again. You should check it out.
I will.
We had a lot of fun making that. And then the following video that we posted the next day was like, there's like a fake newspaper. It's like 80 Blanco changed his name to Superstar. And then it's all these like people who, you know, might not typically know who we are. And that's kind of the joke. And they're like, why would they do this? You know, how could they do that to us?
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
I shouldn't explain it. You should just.
I'm sure. Like, what's happening? Yeah. I write some songs.
Oh, yeah.
I do. I'm a shitty writer for songs, really, but I one of my songs is called Damn It. One of my songs is My Daddy Bought Me a Race Car, which he did. And what else? Oh, I wrote a song for my twin when I was 18. That was the first song. And that was called This Is a Song for Sandy. That one was pretty good. but the others, not necessarily all the time. But I've always tried to get people to write with me because I'm not a musician and I don't know how to put music to things. And I don't think some of the songs are that bad.
So how do you write? What's your process like?
I hear something.
Randomly in the...
Yep. Well, yeah. And like my granddaughter said one day, I don't want to use my words. You know how parents go, use your words, use your words. Uh-huh. And she's like, I don't want to use my words. I want to cry. I want to stomp my feet. Mm. So that kind of gave me an idea. Mm-hmm. And then thinking about this car my dad bought, you know, one day I thought, oh my God, I got to write a song about him coming around that corner with this car. And we're saying, surely that's not our car. And this vroom, 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 dual cherry.
Have yeah. to check that out.
Yeah. So, yeah. But I still get into some things about my family. I came from a family of 10. And wow. I'll write some things about that. I wrote a song when my brother died. I mean, I've lost most of my family. But because my twin and I were the youngest. Mm. But yeah, so I'll use that. And I try to, I mean, I would love to sing these songs like with somebody someday. There's one in particular I think could be kind of cool for a female singer, but I don't know. So
I gotcha.
Not that I'm trying to be a singer or songwriter or anything like that, but some days I wish I did have somebody to write with and change the words and say, oh, how about this? Because that's why I think you guys are successful, is that you do have somebody. A lot of people don't want their words changed.
Mm.
But when you're collaborating, you certainly do. Mm-hmm. You certainly
do. Yeah, that's a big thing, for sure.
So how are you going to spend the next few months and beginning of the year?
I guess we've had this big plan, and right now we're kind of coming off of this big rollout that we created for our new project, and kind of just we've been talking about how everything went that we tried. We're trying new things. But yeah, we've got more songs to release, so we're going to plan the next release and book some more shows. Next one might be in Atlanta.
Where do you play in Atlanta? What are some of the places?
We've played at Smith's Old Bar.
I love that place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What else? Terminal West.
Terminal West, yeah. We played. Yeah, that was fun.
I don't love that place because I have to stand, and I have if I have to, if I can walk, fine. But standing, my back doesn't like that. I have, you know, a problem in that area.
Yeah.
For a long time, I've had it because unfortunately, things that I take for anti-rejection for my transplant, pretty toxic. Drugs. They do bad things to your body eventually. No. But I'm about to celebrate 19 years of my transplant.
Nice.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's huge.
Yeah. And my twin, 17.
She, oh, wow.
Yeah. I drank too much. So I got I think mine went down, the function went down a little bit sooner than hers.
So are y'all identical twins?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'll show you a picture after this.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. So I know your mom was at that show. Are they still supporting your shows and coming to see you? And because some parents don't come.
So, yeah, it's very true.
And, yeah.
That's very sad.
It is. It is. I think that, I think that's one of the best things for a musician to have in their life. I mean, Springsteen had his mom there all the time, all through those years. Mm. She, and that really, I think, was a major, major security blanket for him.
Yeah. Yeah, we're very fortunate. Both of our moms and dads were at the show that we just played at Flickr, and most of our shows. And they're all really supportive.
Say hi to them.
Yeah, definitely.
Do they know you're coming on this? Did you tell them?
I mentioned it to my mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I told my folks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Good. Well, hi, parents out there. your children are wonderful and beautiful, and I think their music is fantastic. So there I said it.
Nice.
Well, that's really, I mean, after the new year, we're going to see your new stuff, and I'm going to make sure I promote your new stuff. And mm-hmm. if you promote my podcast, I would love that as well. Most people who come on do, some don't. You know, they don't say, they don't promote that they were on it and
yeah.
all that. They just let it ride. Oh. But I appreciate it more than you can actually imagine for people to say, hey, I was on this podcast.
Oh, of course.
You should listen to it kind yeah. of thing.
It's such an interesting thing navigating like how to promote yourself, you know, because nobody wants to be like, go check out my stuff, you know, but at a certain point, you kind of have to just do it. You know, and it deserves to be promoted, and yeah. no one's going to do it for you.
We were somewhere, you know? And I was talking about, well, I have a podcast. My granddaughter, she's 8. She said, my grandma is very proud of her podcast.
she
talks about it a lot. And I'm like, oh, God, now even my granddaughter's like,
Yeah.
But I just had her do a promo for me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, for the first time.
Awesome.
And then I had Raya do a promo about the school and come in to work with me.
Very cool.
So I'm trying to do that kind of thing mm-hmm. too,
yeah.
Where I have people record things. And you know what? I have 2 t-shirts for you, but I forgot them.
Oh, no.
So I have to get them to you.
Okay.
We'll trade shirts.
We got a shirt for you.
Okay. So. Okay. That would be very cool.
Yeah, yeah. It says Superstar Number 1 Fan.
So,
but there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
It's mass produced.
Yeah.
But
I I'm just done because it's you only have 2 seasons on it, but I'm about to do seasons 3 and 4, and I may wait for 5 because I do it like a tour shirt.
Nice.
Oh,
you know,
mm-hmm.
I have
that's
it on
cool.
the listed on the back, season mm-hmm. 1, season 2, and I think that's cool. Gregory, as a matter of fact, he's like, "Would you please put out season 3?"
That's awesome.
So I can get a new t-shirt.
That's great.
But anyway. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming tonight.
Oh, absolutely.
And allowing me to pick your brains and talk to you about this stuff. I find it fascinating, very, very fascinating to talk to younger musicians and anybody younger, just because everybody always thinks that this generations, these last 2 generations are just suck ass and they're, you know, not going to do anything and they have to be on their phones. And some of them do, but there's plenty of people like that. And maybe because it's an academic town or not, but yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me how you have Instagram, I know. And is that at?
Yeah, it's at Superstar Loves You.
Oh, I think I saw that.
So, yeah. Easy to remember.
You and don't then, probably do Facebook, right?
No, we do.
Oh, you do?
It's Music by Superstar.
Yeah.
Yeah. They wouldn't let us do Superstar Loves You on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. They're more picky over there.
Yeah.
Anywhere else? You on Bandcamp or anything like that?
On Bandcamp. Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to put
they
all
got
these
us
things
on
where
all
people.
That stuff.
And of course.
On any of the streaming platforms,
yeah.
It's going to be hard to find us if you just search Superstar. But if you look up Superstar All Mine, like the,
oh,
the band
uh-huh.
and the song, it'll come up.
Okay, I'll make
on
sure
anything.
I write that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, again, thank you so much, guys.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thanks for having us. Okay.